Please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, page 70 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading responsively verses 15 through 20. The text verse is the 20th verse, Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 20. And let's please stand for the reading of this passage. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Let's pray. I'm sure thankful, dear Lord, for these good reports, these reports of victory. Thank you especially that every victory represents a human life, someone who is beloved of thee. Thank you for loving us, for loving all of humanity. And we believe that heaven rejoiced a bit extra today because of those who were saved. We give thee praise for it, but now we need thy special blessing for this service. Please, we pray, give your attention to that which is done here, and we pray for thy power in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to give the title of my sermon tonight, The Blessing of Pressure. The Blessing of Pressure. I want to talk to you tonight, and I want to talk to you rather pastorally as well as preachy. I also want to talk to you a little bit. I want to talk to you like a preacher would talk to his people. I want to talk to you like a pastor would talk to his members. I want to talk to you like a father would talk to his children. I want to talk to you even like a psychologist would talk to a patient, except with more sense than the psychologist has. I want to talk to you tonight about the blessing of pressure. Yes, I said the blessing of pressure. No, I didn't say the curse of pressure. I said the blessing of pressure. I want to talk to you about it tonight, and I want to help you. I really believe I can. I believe I can help those of you that are about to break beneath the load. And I want to, and I believe I can. Father, bless the message tonight to our hearts, and help me as I speak. Amen. You talk about pressure. If anybody ever knew pressure, it was Joseph of the book of Genesis. Hated by his brothers, taken down into a pit to be killed by his brothers. Rather than kill him, they thought they might could sell him, make some money out of him, so they sold him to some Ishmaelite people, took him to Egypt. And there he was the object of all kinds of temptation and all kinds of struggles and all kinds of pressure. Pressure never left him. And then later on, his brothers, not knowing he was in Egypt, not knowing what he was doing there, Joseph had risen to be in charge of the commissaries of Egypt, all the food. There was a famine in the land of Canaan. His family, his brothers came to Egypt to see if they could get some food. They did not know they were talking to Joseph. He had in his hands the ability to starve them or to feed them. And when they found out who he was, they were afraid. And Joseph said in so many words, "Don't be afraid." He said, "What you did it to do evil against me. But God meant it for good." What a wonderful passage is this. "But as for you," said Joseph to his brothers, "ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Father, bless the sermon, please. Help me. I need your help. And give me the attention of the people now and settle down the audience, please. Amen. Pressure, follow me carefully. Pressure is simply resistance. That's what pressure is. Nothing is as misunderstood as pressure. The word pressure has become a bad word, like the word work has become a bad word. The word pressure is not a bad word. It's a good word. We in America have listened to the two-bit psychologists. All of them are two-bit, as far as I'm concerned. You know what two-bits is? I hadn't used that term in years. How many do not know what two-bits is? It's twice as many as one-bit. It's a quarter. That's what it is. It's a little hard to educate you while I have to preach to you, but I hadn't used that term in years. But anyway, as far as I'm concerned, they're all two-bit psychologists. And as I've been sort of emphasizing lately, we're putting too much emphasis on the Christian psychologists these days, which is no more than the heathen psychology taught by a heathen to a Christian. It goes to a heathen school and comes back and tells us what the heathen told him because he's a Christian. It becomes Christian psychology. No, it's heathen psychology taught by Christian psychologists is what it is. But they love to talk about pressure. Now, all of us have pressure. Pressure is simply resistance. Now, it is resistance. First thing I want to say is we all have pressure and it's resistance. Second thing I want to say, it is resistance to the resistance that makes us strong. That's exactly what exercise is. It's resistance to the resistance. Running, and I myself run 4 laps a day around my desk. You've seen my desk. You'd know I have to stop and rest after 2 laps. But Brother Ray here is a runner. His running is simply resistance against resistance. Every time he picks up his foot, he's resisting the resistance of the law of gravity. The law of gravity is simply resistance to us. The fact that I'm standing up now means I'm resisting resistance. You're not. You're not resisting resistance. But I am resisting resistance now. That's what makes us strong. Walking, just walking. Every time you pick your foot up, you're resisting resistance. You're resisting the law of gravity. Every time you get up from a chair or from bed, you're resisting resistance. Even this, the raising of my hand right now, is resisting resistance. The law of gravity is resistance. And I right now am resisting resistance. Swimming is resisting resistance. The water tries to keep you still. You fight against the resistance and you resist the resistance. Now I want to tell you something that I don't understand. Removing it results in failure. Now, explain this to me. You go to a doctor. You have a checkup. The doctor says what you need is exercise. Now, what's the doctor telling you? The doctor is telling you that if you're going to be strong physically, you've got to resist resistance. Is that right? That's what exercise is. That same doctor will tell you you've got to get out from under your pressure emotionally. Folks, you get strong emotionally the same way you get strong physically. Tell me the consistency of that kind of advice. Quit your Sunday school class. Get out from under all your pressure. So he says physically, get under the pressure and emotionally, get out from under the pressure. And he's wrong. He's wrong. The way you get strong physically, the way I became this hook that you see before you tonight, it wasn't easy. It was resisting as I lifted the fork and the knife and the spoon, a resisting resistance and dared to defy the law of gravity in bringing heavy loads toward my mouth. But that's the way doing push-ups or exercises, resisting resistance. Weightlifting is resisting resistance. So the doctors tell us, and the reason they tell us is they don't know the answer in this area. They tell us if you want to be strong physically, you resist the resistance. They don't say you got too heavy a load on you, crumble under it, and let that 300-pound barbell break your neck, just crumble under it and let it hit you. No, they say you need the exercise. You need to resist the resistance. You've got to build up yourself, and you've got to be strong physically by resisting resistance. And then they'll turn around and say, get out from under the pressure. And out from under the resistance, that's what pressure is emotionally, get out from under it. Now, that's inconsistent. There's something. Unpressured pressure is what causes collapse. When you don't resist resistance, that's what causes collapse. People that are having all the emotional problems are not people that are pressuring against pressure. They're people that are talking about their pressure, examining their pressure, thinking about their pressure. I really hesitate to use this, but I know they won't mind. One of the most admirable families in this church to me is the Judson Mitchell family. Only God knows the pressure that family has been under. Mrs. Mitchell has a disease that'll never be cured, and it'll hound her. It probably won't, well, I don't know how, whether it'll limit her lifespan or not. Judson will probably limit her lifespan. But she has the disease, and it's there's no way that you and I will ever know how that woman has suffered. But she's kept on going. But I talked to her a year or two ago, and she was really under it. I mean, I tried to encourage her and tried to help her. But something happened to their family. A lovely junior high daughter became ill. And all of a sudden, that junior high daughter became the focus of their attention. And things that Mrs. Mitchell was not doing, suddenly she had to do. And they've been through the pressure. I mean, they've been through the fire in the last year or so. In fact, the last several years. They just live that way. But a strange thing happened. The other night I was talking to Mrs. Mitchell, and she said, Pastor, you think I could teach Sunday school class? Well, I never thought she'd teach Sunday school class. Last time I talked to her any length at all, she was under the pressure. And I said, what? She said, I want to get busy and do something in the church for the Lord. And I said, well, how about your illness? Oh, she said, I'm feeling better now than I felt in a long time. You know why she's feeling better? Because that daughter's illness has required her to resist the resistance and the pressure. And so she's stronger. Why? Because she's stronger emotionally because she's been exercising emotionally. A necessary pressure came down to her that could have caused her to crumble or could have caused her to resist it. And bless God, even though she's been ill herself, she resisted it. And in resisting it, though she's physically ill, her emotional strength is stronger than it was before her daughter became so ill. Why? Because she has resisted resistance. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. It isn't fun to have burdens. It isn't fun to have pressure. But that's the way you get strong. You must decide how strong you want to be and in what area you want to be strong. And in that particular area, you're going to have to resist the resistance that comes your way in order to be strong. Unpressured pressure is what causes folks to collapse. You think about yourself too much. You're thinking about your burden too much. Forgive me for saying it, but that's why many of you go to so many doctors. I'm not against going to the doctor. I went to one myself 14 years ago for a checkup because of an insurance policy I had to take out for a key man. I'm a key man, in case you'd like to know that. And the key man policy at the church, our loan company required it. I'm not against doctors at all. But I think it's sort of silly for you to go from one to the other and one to the other and one to the other. And one reason to do, because you want to tell somebody the pressure that you're under. And you want to hear him say you're under too much pressure. Now, I'm not saying that a person never gets under too much pressure, but I'm saying most people don't. And most people that think they aren't.
Now, I'm going to say something here, too, that may hairly for every dog in this county, but I'm going to say it. The people who are under the most pressure spend most of their time trying to help the people that are under no pressure or little pressure, because the people that carry the most pressure are strong enough to help the people that have pressures. And the fellow that has the heavy load spends most of his time, the people who have the heavy load spend much of their time or most of their time helping people that have the lighter load. Why? Because they've carried the pressure and they've carried the load and they've resisted resistance, and that's made them stronger. You know who the people are who protect us? Our officers. They're men in good shape. They're men who have exercised and resisted the pressure. The men who resist the pressure physically are the men who protect the people that do not resist the pressure physically. And the people that resist the pressure emotionally are the people that carry the burden of those who do not resist the pressure emotionally. What I'm trying to say is simply what Jesus said. Don't get mad at me. Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow me. He didn't say, whine about your cross, take it up. He didn't say, gripe about your cross, take it up. God gave it to you to make you strong. That's what it's all about. I'm saying, some of you folks are cracking under pressure. Don't have to crack under pressure. And it's not the pressure that's causing you to crack. It's the thinking about the pressure that's causing you to crack. It's the pressure that comes because you're concerned about the pressure, and the pressure if you're trying to find the next person to tell about your pressure. And the fellow who has time to listen to you about your pressure and listen to your pressure is a guy that has more pressure than you do. A guy that has a bigger load to carry than you have. And the reason he can carry your load is because he's carried his own and it made him strong enough to carry yours. Take up your load. Take up your cross. Take up your burden. Quit your whining. Call off your pity party. Pick up your load and carry it. That's what makes you strong. It's not the first time I've used this illustration. I may have used it recently. But I just said in passing about this young man that came to me after service one night. I was preaching in another state, and he said, Dr. Howes won't talk to you. So we stood over in the choir, in this section of the choir, and we had a chat. And he said, Dr. Howes, he said, I've got a burden. And he told me about his burden. And I counseled with him for a while, and then I said, let's pray. And I said, you pray first. He began to pray. He said, Lord, take away my burden. Now, I don't do stuff like this. I'm not this kind of person. But before I knew it, I shouted out loud, Lord, don't do it. The fellow stopped and said, Dr. Hiles, you just told God not to take away my burden. I said, I know. I heard myself. I just felt decided to say it. I know what I said. Lord, don't do it. He said, don't you want God to take away my burden? I said, of course I don't want God to take away your burden. He said, okay, I'll make another prayer. He said, dear God, give me strength to bear my burden. I said, Lord, don't do that either. He began to cry. He said, Lord, Brother Hiles, Lord, which is the same thing. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, you told God not to give me strength to carry my burden. And I said to him, and I say to you, as I've said before, God doesn't give you strength to carry your burden. He gives you the burden to give you strength. You don't get strength for the burden. You get strength by the burden. You get strength by the load. The load makes you strong if you'll pick it up. But a weightlifter can look at his set of weights all night long or all day long and whine and say, oh, what a heavy load I've got to carry. And he can whine all night long, complain all night long. He'll never get strong. What he's got to do is grunt and groan and sweat and perspire and hurt and ache and cringe and pick up his weights. When he picks up his weights, that's what makes him stronger. Isn't fun. Nobody who lifts weights likes to lift weights. It's not fun. But you must decide how strong you want to be. And you must have pressure according to the strength that you want to have. And you must decide in what area you want to be strong. And you must have pressure in that area to make you strong. I couldn't carry the load I carry if I hadn't picked up my load through these years. If I hadn't lived under pressure for 41 years, I couldn't pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I could not begin to do all the things I do, and you have no concept of all the load that's on me tonight. And I'm not whining about it because by the grace of God, and because of God, and God give me burdens through the years, I've become strong enough to bear it, and I'd gladly bear it, but I wouldn't be strong enough if I'd whined and gone from one psychologist to another, and one psychiatrist to another, and one doctor to another, and whined and on the telephone told everybody about my problem. I'm a little tired of folks saying, I just need somebody to hear me talk. No, you don't. You need to go hear somebody else talk. I just need to get it off my chest. No, pick it up and carry it. That's what makes you strong. And don't blame the devil for your burdens. Most of your burdens are given by God, so it'll help you make you stronger. Preachers all across America say, oh, the devil sure is fighting. Don't give the devil credit for that. God gives you a load to carry. Don't you remember the text a while ago? It said, you meant it against me for evil, but God meant it for good unto the saving of many. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm not mad at you. I couldn't have been what I am now without you. You're selling me to slavery. Your plan to kill me caused me to go to Egypt. And I've been through all of these things because you've been my enemies. I don't curse you. I bless you because God meant you, your action, for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God had a nation he wanted to save from starvation. God had to have somebody that belonged to him in the land of Egypt. God allowed these men who wanted to hurt and who hated Joseph, his brothers, to sell him to bondage. And God allowed Joseph to carry this pressure, and Joseph did carry this pressure. You won't find Joseph whining about the pressure. You won't find Joseph complaining about the pressure. He carried his load. Because he carried his load when the time came for his brothers to come from the land of Canaan to tell about a famine there, Joseph was used of God to do something he couldn't have done if he hadn't had the pressure to bear. You're not sympathizing with me. Well, I tell you what, most of you don't need sympathy. You need to sympathize. Got a little note tonight. As I walked in the office, came in tonight, one of my sweet little favorite young ladies, junior age, handed me a note, primary junior age, I think junior. She said, Brother Howells, this is a prayer request. And I opened it. As I got in the office, it said one thing. It said, pray that my mother will someday walk. Mother's confined to a wheelchair. Mother rearing three children by herself. Doing all the housekeeping, all the cooking, three children by herself. Pray that my mother will walk. I don't think you need anybody to listen to you complain. You ought to go let her complain to you. I'm simply saying that most of us are too busy wanting somebody to understand us when the truth is we ought to pick up our load and carry it. Pressure. That's what pressure is. Pressure is resistance. You crumble beneath that resistance and you fail. You resist that resistance. That's what exercise is. That's what mental health is. How do you become unselfish? You become unselfish by resisting the resistance of selfishness. How do you learn to love your enemies? By resisting the resistance of revenge. How do you learn to work? By resisting the resistance of laziness. How do you become generous? By resisting the resistance of selfishness. How do you persevere? By resisting the resistance of quitting. Now I want to tell you something. All of us have the resistance of covetousness. All of us have the resistance of revenge. All of us have the resistance of laziness. All of us have the resistance of selfishness. All of us have the resistance of quitting. But bless God, there's some people left in this nation that still have enough grit to resist these resistance. I was thinking a while ago, this generation. Oh, they said this is the hardest generation to live in the history of the world. That's poppycock. Oh, I'm under financial load. You ought to live 50 years ago before some stupid guy invented Social Security. Well, then, you ought to live 75 years ago, or I wasn't alive then, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. You won't know what pressure is. You be a farmer like my Uncle Roy was. No crop insurance. No Social Security. No check from Washington. Just 40 acres and God. That's pressure. I mean, he's got a family of four. He's got to feed them. He's got to care for them. Has no GI Bill. Has no Social Security check. He has no guaranteed income. He has no workman's compensation. He has a plow and a couple of horses and 40 acres of land and faith in God and the Word of God. And we whine, oh, how they're going to make it. Well, I'll guarantee one thing. We dead sure couldn't have made it 100 years ago. That's what pressure is. Well, I'm just under so much pressure. Well, then resist it. Knock the mucus out of it. Nasal mucus. We'll tell you what it is, we'll tell you what it's not. Knock it out of it. And I'm just about to break. Look, you know why you're about to break? Because you're thinking about breaking. When you don't think about breaking, you're not about to break. Just pick up your load. He said, well, you don't understand me. You're right. You're exactly right. I don't, for example, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say a bunch of stuff I shouldn't say later on. But I probably shouldn't say this. But you college kids, you know I love you, don't you? Think about it real hard right now, because you're going to wonder in just a minute. You know I love you. Dr. Evans comes and says, Brother Hiles, or Dr. Jorgensen comes, or Brother Weaver, somebody says, Brother Hiles, the students, they're just worn out. They're in the middle of the spring and they just need some time off. They're just worn out. And here's a 61-year-old old man, hadn't had a day off in 23 years. And you young whippersnappers whine. So we give you a day off. We'll give you another too someday. Might do it. Yeah. But I'd be ashamed of myself. You guys that are 20 years old and 21 years old, you got big old biceps and big old broad shoulders and your waist is 30 inches around it. I got a leg that's that big. An old man like me keeps on going, never thinks about taking a day off. Why? Because I never think about it. Why don't you take a day off? Never think about it. If I thought about it, I'd get tired. I'll guarantee you this, too. I'll guarantee you. He said, oh, Brother Hiles, I'm just worn out. I just got 6 hours sleep last night. Oh, blessed thought. But now, wait a minute. I'll guarantee you, if I could finagle with your alarm clock, you could get 1 hour of sleep, but let me make you think you got 8 hours of sleep and you'd be rested the next day. Or let me finagle your alarm clock. We had a meeting years ago down in Dallas, Texas. A bunch of preachers had a special meeting all over the country. I guess about 40 of us. And Dr. Robertson was there and Dr. Rice was there and so forth. And then I called, and I shouldn't have done it. I called the hotel operator desk, and I said, I didn't tell her that I was in room so-and-so. I said, would you call room so-and-so at 3:30 tomorrow morning? Well, Dr. Ed Nelson's room, he was there, and he had already called and asked for a wake-up around 6 o'clock. I said, look, change that in room so-and-so to 3:30. Dr. Nelson's phone rang at 3:30, and the lady at the desk said, it's time to wake up. He thought it was 6. He was refreshed. He gets up, bathes, shaves, goes down to where the meeting's going to be held, and nobody's there. As soon as he found out it was 4:30, then he got tired. Look, If you don't know you're tired, you won't know you're tired. Boy, that's a great statement, wasn't it? I mean, the honest truth is, if you don't know you have... But see, your problem is you're thinking about your pressure. You're thinking about it. And but physically, oh, resist the pressure. Resist, lift your weights and run and walk and jog and get the old heart beating. Well, get the old spiritual heart beating, too. You do it by resisting resistance. I said a while ago, those under pressure spend a lot of time so those not under pressure can be kept from cracking up. That's a good statement. I think I want to hear it again. Those under pressure spend much of their time with those not under pressure to keep those not under pressure from cracking up. Quit looking at the load. Look at the Savior. Quit whining. Talking about it. Pick up your load. Resist the resistance. You know why I'm able to carry your loads? Because for all these years I've carried my own, and God's given me a few pretty tough loads to carry and some heavy loads to carry. But I've gotten strong enough to carry your loads because I've been practicing and resisting the resistance that comes in my life. I'm not saying I have any heavier load than you have. I'm simply saying I picked mine up. And I didn't ask you to pick it up for me. I don't ask you to pick it up for me. I'll pick it up myself, thank you. And I won't whine about it. I'll just pick it up, and I'll just carry it. Because I want to be strong enough to help you when you have one. And I can't help you with yours unless I'm stronger. And I can't be stronger unless I've got some heavier load to carry. I don't enjoy it. No weightlifter enjoys weightlifting. Nobody enjoys grunting and groaning and sweating and hurting. Nobody enjoys it. But they enjoy the winning the football game on Saturday afternoon. They enjoy the victory. They enjoy the spoils of it. Nobody enjoys emotional burdens. I don't. If I had my way, I'd never carry another one. But if God gives me some, I'll pick it up. Will you hurt? Yes, I'll hurt. Will you cry? Yes, I'll cry. Will you sweat? Yes, I'll sweat, but you won't know it. Why? I want to be strong. Why, you want to be strong so I can help you carry your burden. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? All of us fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and endure the pain supported by thy word. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. That consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home a crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Two statements. Number one is your burdens become your blessings then. Back in the 1948, there was a big hurricane in New England. There was a railroad bridge. The White River Junction. And that bridge was very important. And they thought that that bridge would be blown away in the hurricane. An engineer thought of the idea. He said, back a big, heavy train on that bridge. And put that heavy train on that bridge during the hurricane. And the weight of that train on the White River Bridge in the hurricane of 1948 in New England, the weight of that train on that bridge kept that bridge from blowing to pieces. And a lot of folks are blowing to pieces because they don't have enough weight, enough responsibility, enough resistance against resistance. That's all it was. The hurricane coming through, and that resistance. And the engineer said, you put enough resistance on that bridge to resist the resistance. And that's why a lot of folks are blowing up. I want to say this also. Your enemies become your friends in a case like that. Joseph's brothers, bitterest enemies he had, wanted to kill him, became his friend. His friend. You meant it against me for evil, he said. But the Lord meant it unto good.
for the saving of many.
So I'd like to thank my enemies for helping me get stronger for the saving of many. I'd like to thank my enemies for making me have to hurt more and resist more and pray more. Why? For the saving of many. He said, you enjoy it? Don't enjoy it at all. Now, Joseph didn't enjoy being cast in that pit. He didn't enjoy his brothers hating him. He didn't enjoy being sold to the Ishmaelites. He didn't enjoy going to Egypt. He didn't enjoy being in jail there for all that time. He didn't enjoy it. He didn't enjoy it when Potiphar's wife made a bunch of dirty accusations against him. He didn't enjoy it, but he took it. And what happened? He was strong enough to take care of his family. But he wouldn't have been strong enough if he hadn't resisted the resistance. Jesus said to Judas, it's very interesting, Judas Iscariot came to Jesus to place the kiss of betrayal upon him. The soldiers are sharpening their knives. The cross is being finished, nailed together. The cat of nine tails is being prepared for use. A mock trial is being planned. Judas Iscariot comes to Jesus to place the kiss of betrayal upon his brow. Jesus didn't say, enemy. He said, friend. Friend. Because the load, the pressure that he was going to have to resist because of that kiss of betrayal was for the salvation of many. Did you recall one time when Jesus talking about his coming death? And Peter, in so many words, said, I'll see to it they won't get you. I'll guarantee you, I'll see to it you don't get crucified. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. What was he saying to Peter? He's saying, you're keeping the pressure off me that's going to make me strong enough to save people that come to me. He said, get thee behind me. And his bitterest enemy who came and placed a kiss of betrayal upon his brow became his friend. It just may be that the best enemy, best friends you've got, might be the biggest enemy you have. I'm not saying go around trying to make enemies so you can be strong. I'm saying whatever load God puts upon you, pick it up. It'll make you stronger. Commander Samuel Logan, Deagle of the Salvation Army years ago, was conducting a street meeting. An enemy picked up a brick, threw it at him, hit him in the head, and almost killed him. Lay between life and death for a long time. And he got well enough to where it looked like he was going to recover. His wife brought the brick to his bedside that the enemy had thrown and gave it to him. And on the brick, she had this lettering. He thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. 1956. My denomination said you'd have to support liberal schools or you can't belong to this denomination. I'll be kicked out of my nation before I give a dime to a liberal school. I'll walk by myself before I give one red cent to a school who doesn't believe this book is the Word of God. One red cent, I wouldn't give to it. Not one. I said, do what you want to do. I'm not going to support your liberal schools. I'm not going to do it. One morning at the annual meeting, man stood up, and I was sitting over here, the Park City's Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. That time, the wealthiest church probably in Dallas. I was sitting over there, and man got up, and he said, I make a motion because the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, and the Open Door Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, pastored by Joe Boyd, refused to support our program. They no longer be a part of our association. And there that morning, seven people stood and voted for me. And by the way, that's exactly how many voted for Spurgeon when he was voted out of the London Baptist Association. It's been 32 years now. Not long ago, I got a letter from that man. He said, Dear Dr. Hiles, I've heard about your work. He said, my work isn't going well. Could you send me some ideas that will help my work to progress and flourish? And I did. It was ticking when I mailed it. I just want to give him a burden. That's what he needs. No, I sent it. But many years ago, I wrote him a letter and thanked him for being my enemy. I told him, I said, it hurt at the time, but I want to thank you for being my enemy. I don't guess I ever had a preacher to hate me like that man did. But he drove me to the prayer closet. He drove me to pick up a burden I would never have picked up. And he helped make me stronger. And I thanked him for it. I'm not trying to hurt you. I really am not. See, what you think you need and what you need are often not the same thing. Well, I just need somebody to listen to me. You don't know what you need. What you need to be doing is listening to somebody else's problems instead of talking about your own. Well, nobody cares. Well, you care enough to make up for everybody. Nobody understands my burden. Did you ever hear of God? He's a person who lives up in the sky. There's a throne up there. In a place called heaven. Back yonder, several years ago, he made the world. He put the sun and the moon and the stars in their place. He holds the heavens in his hands. But nobody cares. You're an atheist, aren't you? Yeah, you're an atheist. You ought to join up with Madeline Murray O'Hara. You'd get along real well with her. Brother, if he cares, you got all the care you need. All the care you need. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where I may be if He is there. Now you listen to me, folks. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody... A lot of folks leave this and, well, you don't understand. Now, the truth is I do understand. And though I'm not going to say I've got more burdens than you have, I'll put my load beside yours and we'll see. I don't know what you're going to do with yours. I'm going to pick mine up and do some weightlifting. I'm going to do some calisthenics of mine because I want to be strong. I get letters every day of my life from preachers all over the nation that say to me, Brother House, take care of yourself. We need you. Got a letter this afternoon, read it a while ago. Said, Dear Brother Hiles, I need you. We need you. America needs you. I've got to be strong. I counsel with 145 people average a week here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. When I go somewhere to preach, the line of people just always say, can we see you? Can I take 15 minutes of your time? Can you talk to me for a few minutes? It's just a line all the time. Never get out from under it. Never do. Sometimes I just want to run and hide. It's always there. It's always there. I need to be strong. And I can't be strong enough to help those people unless I'm resisting resistance. Tonight, I'm not saying that you don't have a heavy load to carry. But I am saying you'll come a lot less near cracking up if you'll carry it instead of looking at it.